was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Is this thing working? Hello? Hello? Pat, is it going? I don't remember how to work this.
Remember, you gotta push it twice.
What? Hello? Can anybody hear us? Well, we'll try.
If not, it won't matter. It wouldn't be the first time we didn't record.
That's true. I it's been 2 months. I forget how to do things.
I understand.
But hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 471. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Spencer.
So, in case you didn't know,
we should have played Welcome Back.
Yeah. I'm trying to debate what to title this one. We're back. I'm alive. You know.
It lives.
It lives. True. Yeah.
Before
but
we were really so if rudely Mike interrupted.
If Mike was here, he would go with "It's alive."
Yes. Right. Yes.
Mike missed out, so
yeah. He was too busy showing up. But yeah, apparently when we recorded the last one, which will be going up the same day as this, cause I haven't been here to put it online. I had a heart attack and, went the next morning to the doctor and, they told me to go to the emergency room immediately. So that was fun. That's always a good call you want to get while working alone at the store.
Well, like, we were proud of you at first cause you're like, I don't care if I have a heart attack. I'm going to podcast. And then you all took off.
I don't remember saying that, but okay, sure.
See, I was trying to give you credit.
I appreciate it.
And then you're like, oh no, I had a heart attack. I gotta take off for months.
Yeah, there I am being a slacker. But so I got to
use a different word, but it's
So I got to go into the hospital and they checked and they said, hey, you need a quadruple bypass. I'm like, only quadruple? Okay. And so that happened, and then I've been kind of just in recovery and all sorts of fun stuff. But, yeah, hopefully I should be here to podcast for a long time now, because apparently things were not too rosy before that. I just didn't realize. I had been moving and had been way overdoing it, and I knew I was overdoing it, but and had lots of chest pains, but then they would go away. And then suddenly one day they didn't go away. One night I walked upstairs to go to bed and they did not go away and would not go away. I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah.
So, but we got it all figured out, got it all sorted out.
Well, how are you feeling now?
Feel good.
Like,
I just
imagine you're still like probably a little sore and like.
No, not sore, just tired. I get tired really quick. Like the other day I went upstairs, I don't know, maybe get a shower and came back down and realized I forgot my phone and went back up and got the phone. And it's like, yeah, I need to sit down. Yeah, we're just going to sit down for a minute.
There's a TV up here. I'm good.
Yeah, so that I find that a lot. And that's just from inactivity when you're basically told for 6 weeks, do nothing while everything healed up.
Which was probably the best thing you wanted to hear. Really? You're
not It was. I mean, I was not, you know, oh, man. You know, but and also after a while it got to be, you know, because a lot of it, you know, it's like I can't do anything because I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And not sleeping well, because especially for the first long while, I had to sleep on my back because I couldn't sleep on my side because shoulders moving and stuff. And I'm not a back sleeper. And I had a possible, there were nights where I just laid there wide awake, could not fall asleep. But luckily we got past that.
And now you're a back sleeper.
No, I'm still a side sleeper. And then the real fun part was, I thought I had bed sores because I had all of a sudden all these sores on my backside and down my leg. And, turns out it was poison ivy. Marley went and got into some poison ivy and brought it back and put it on the sofa. So, we got that taken care of, but, yeah, so it's been a fun 2 months, but we're back. Yeah. Now, some bad news, some really sad news, was last Friday, went downstairs to let Harry out, and he had passed in the night, just in his sleep. So, yeah, Harry is no longer at the store to visit with you. Marley's still here. But, yeah, so that was sad. He had really become a really integral part of the store. Didn't realize how much, you know, but
Man, now who's going to block the doorway when you come?
Yeah, so it's a little empty. It's a little weird, you know, especially coming in just with Marley, you know, walking in. It's like, you know, something's missing. So.
But the couch still smells like dog, so that's a plus.
Yeah, well, that's Marley. Harry never got on the sofa.
And I feel bad for Marley, too, because now she has to do all those picks by herself.
Yeah.
Like, that's
more work for Marley.
Yeah, they used to split that up, so... yeah.
Because, you know, they'd be the only ones getting any reading done in the house, probably.
To be fair, they're the only ones that can read.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
This whole time, Colin's been running a business, can't read.
I look at the pictures. That's why you think I do this.
That's why he gets so freaked out at the eye about the eye thing, because he doesn't know the, you know.
Can't figure out what's going on. So, yeah, I don't. Other than Dave, I don't know how much reading has been going on. I know Pat's behind. I have not read a single comic.
That's nice of you to call me a behind, because normally you just say an asshole.
No, I wouldn't say that. A couple big news things have come up, and that was part of the reason I wanted to do this, because we're a little bit behind on this one. They announced it a while ago. But there's this Substack thing going on. Where a lot of creators are getting paid money to do this newsletter where people pay to subscribe and they're going to give, you know, behind the scenes info and do comics exclusive to Substack that they'll eventually print. And it's some big names. It's Zdarsky, Hickman, Tinian, Nick Spencer. Oh, I forget
Jeff Lemire, I think.
Okay, yeah, I just saw he announced something. Yes, yeah, and it's just like, okay, I just don't know. I see they're like $7-8 a month, which just seems an awful lot to
for behind the scenes.
Yeah, for a newsletter, and more power to them. They're trying to go direct to the readers.
It almost sounds more like Kickstarter.
It's a little bit of a Kickstarter type thing, and I guess Substack is trying to, you know, make some inroads, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is the future of comics and stuff." And I'm like, "Okay, but are you going to subscribe to 10 creators' newsletters at, you know, $80 a month?" I don't know. And, you know, to read a PDF or however, whatever format they have the.
Yeah, because they're not sending you hard copies.
No. And then I saw on Tinian's one, you know, if you pay the premium, you get a special variant cover and stuff. And I'm like, so a lot of it sounds very Kickstarter-y.
Yeah, but if you're not getting hard copies.
Well, no, but you do get a hard copy when they finally decide to do it or
they're
something.
They're making a big deal out of the process of them. You being able to see the process. If they work on a comic, you see the pages.
Yeah,
but so, I wouldn't want to do that.
I know. Like, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as movies where you're like, I don't want to ruin the magic. I know how you draw, but I don't want to, you know.
I agree.
I don't want to see a reveal like a month before I actually get to see the reveal.
Yeah, that's like stuff you want to see after you read the issue.
Yes.
And then that's like, oh, then you can see like, oh, show me a quick video of how you sketch that whole page out or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just...
Right.
This character was going to look like this, and then we decided to do this instead. You go, oh, that was a good choice. Or,
and like, another thing is it's like, with like some of these creators, I don't think you have a problem with putting out like content, but you get like people like Hickman, like you're paying $7 a month, and like what's the chances of you getting something worth $7 a month?
Well, and he hasn't been great for his independent stuff. Has been, you know, East to West was horribly delayed.
And that's another thing, because like, you know, it's gonna be, it's kind of almost like an image thing where like they have to do, this is more work for them now, because they have to find artists and they have to pay everybody, you know. But the way I looked at it is like, it'll probably be something that's around for a year or two. Hopefully some of the creators can get a decent payday out of it. It gives, you know, maybe some new guys a chance at the big two that, you know, to fill in the spots. And then, like I said, a couple years down the line, these guys can come back and have big, like, and, you know, so-and-so's back now to do another Batman story or, you know, whatever, and it'd be basically back to normal.
But then my concerns are something like Tinian, Nasi doing that. He left Batman to do it. And Nice House on the Lake is now going to pause after issue 6 and take 5 months off while he does his little thing. And I'm like, well, here's the problem
just
there.
Just have it called a miniseries.
Right. And they're like, oh, we're going to leave it on a huge cliffhanger. And I'm reading this and I'm like, no. Because my problem is, will it be finished? I'm not convinced it will be finished.
To be fair, you did give me the last copy of Beauty today, and that's only 18 months delayed.
Yeah. So, but it's like, it's selling great now. Will it sell after a six-month gap? And now they're going to, you know, probably do the first 6 issues as a trade. Well, why would I order that if I don't know it's ever going to finish?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a lot of confidence in that. And it's just like, I posted on a little retailer group I'm in. I'm like, how to kill a book in one easy step. You know, and it's just, I don't get it. You know, they had a hugely successful book that they've kind of, you know.
Oh, there's way easier steps than that. Though.
There are, but it's just like, man, you know, and they just assume, you know, oh, it'll keep selling. It's like, you know, the Saga creators where they were taking a year off that's now been, what, 3, 4? You know, it's like, and there's, I've heard rumors it's going to come back as a Substack and all this. It's like. I hold no ill will towards the creators doing this, and they say, oh, and this, all the books we do will be in print, you know, someday. It's like, okay, but I have no incentive to order them.
No, because anybody that wants them would have already gotten them, especially since you don't know. Is someday 6 months from now? Is it 2 years?
Well, and it's the same problem I have with the Kickstarter stuff, where they offer a retailer tier, but why would I order your book when you're selling direct to the people that want it?
Yeah.
That's how I look at this, too. So, it's not, yeah, I mean, they can do what they want, cool, but it's kind of like they're looking at, they want to get around us, and it's like, you know what, we did a lot of work promoting your stuff, and promoting your books and things like that, so now when you come back, when this falls apart, don't ask me to promote your work. And, you know, even now, when you're still doing, you know, print stuff, don't ask me to promote your work. You know, I'll carry it, but I'm going to promote people that are, you know, working to send customers my way, not trying to get around me. So.
And like another thing is, like, I thought I saw someone, this is like the people that are on that, they're going to take over like as their social media too. Like, so they won't have like a Twitter or anything else. So if you want to know anything that they're doing, you have to,
you have to pay $7.
Yeah. To just even find out what books or whatever else, you know, if they're doing anything else anywhere. Or...
And then the other thing is Marvel yesterday announced, man, Marvel Comics reveals 8 new tentpole titles. Now, this is on Marvel.com, so that's their wording. See the books that will shape the future of the Marvel Universe in the months to come. And David Harper had tweeted, that was the first I saw it when he tweeted, he's like, I don't see any tent poles on this list.
I mean, so. To me, tent pole for Marvel would be Spider-Man, an X-Men book, the Avengers book. Yeah. I'll bet none of those go. So
well, here are the tent pole
and
titles.
If you say Eternals, I'm going to laugh openly.
No, okay. But there are a couple laugh. All hell breaks loose in the Marvel Universe as Kingpin finally declares all-out war on the heroes in Devil's Reign. Having set the stage for their Daredevil epic, Chip Zdarsky and Marcio Cicchetto's far-reaching crossover event finds Mayor Fisk outlawing all superheroes in New York and unleashing intel on their dark secrets while pitting Daredevil, Elektra, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and many more against his Thunderbolt agents. It's like, okay, so they're ending Daredevil and then doing this event. Like, that never works well.
That's very, what was the Shadow one?
Yeah, Shadow
Kingdom?
Or? No, what was that? That was, was horrible.
It killed the title for a while.
And that's what this is going to do, because, you know, Daredevil is selling X amount, and then a bunch of people are going to be like, no, I don't want this miniseries, and then they're off, and it'll be a new creative team after. It's just like, again, how do you kill a book?
Because how many issues was his run? It wasn't only like
40, something like that. 35, 40. And then Marvel Comics Avengers Forever pulls together archaeologist Tony Stark, a.k.a. the invincible Ant-Man, and Avengers from across the multiverse to bring order to the timelines where hope is a four-letter word. Yeah.
So they just thought, like, hey, DC's doing it, that kind of thing. let's do that.
The future of the Marvel Universe is here, and Timeless is where it all begins. When a threatening new timeline emerges, Kang the Conqueror must fight his way through the coming year to protect the main 616 timeline he's worked centuries to solidify as his own.
I mean...
Spinning out of Loki.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I really enjoyed Loki, yeah. But I, yeah, no.
Yeah. House of X and Powers of X ushered in the first Krakoan age of the X-Men. Now Marvel Comics' X Lives of Wolverine and X Deaths of Wolverine will test the best there is at what he does before any mutant can survive the second Krakoan age. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping with Hickman leaving that they would just kind of backpedal on some of that.
Yeah. Marvel Comics' She-Hulk from Rainbow Rowell and Rouge Antonio throws the book at Jennifer Walters as she tries to put her rage-filled days behind her and return to practicing law in defense of the innocent. The last I saw of She-Hulk was in Avengers when she and Thor went on a date and she had lost her intelligence and was just a brute. So... Dan Slott is joined by Carlos Pacheco and Rachel Stott for Marvel Comics' Fantastic Four Reckoning War, an epic saga over 15 years in the making. The original Secret War of the Marvel Universe has been reignited, and every level being in reality is in danger. And then, Pat, I know you're excited about this one. Lunella Lafayette and her lovable 20-foot dinosaur are back in Marvel Comics' Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It's a tentpole book.
That's a tentpole.
Which I don't think I ever sold more than three copies of.
Well, isn't it getting a show, so wouldn't that make a tentpole?
That's my guess, is all these are related to shows.
Yeah, but...
Other than the Daredevil one. But Avengers, Timeless is coming out of Loki. She-Hulk is a TV show. And it's just like, I don't see any of these as being tentpole books.
Well, the only ones you could say would be the books. It should be, these are the books that kind of, the other books... fall under, and these are the ones that hold up Marvel.
I'd say the only ones close to tentpole analysis would be in the two Wolverine books and the Fantastic Four, but like, if they, it seemed like they're their own little thing anyways, that won't really affect anything anyways.
No. Because like, the Avengers Forever thing, that's a niche book.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
they're
gonna,
all.
That's
yeah, none of them are broad.
Copies.
Yeah.
You know, number one will sell eight copies. Number two through four will sell,
yeah,
you know, four if you're lucky.
Yeah. So, yeah, as David said, I don't see any tent poles in these tent poles. So, yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Well, that's all I have to discuss. Anybody else, any news, any thoughts? I know Dave's got a list.
Yeah, Dave's got books, but I didn't read any books. Did anybody watch Black Widow?
No.
Yeah.
I saw Black Widow.
Yeah, I saw Black Widow.
What'd you guys think?
It was okay. It was good. I think if we could have saw it when it was originally first to come out, I don't think there would have been as much criticism because it wouldn't have that extra wait time in it, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, it really hurt that it was, like, if that would have came out around, like, the Age of Ultron, like, you know, around the time that it took place in the movies, if it would have actually came out around then, like, you know what I mean? Because other than the stinger at the end, no, you didn't need, like, you know what I mean? It being a prequel, I think, just kind of, you know, hurt it.
Yeah, prequel to a dead character doesn't really...
Yeah.
Hey, now she's dead. You want to know what happened before she died?
Yeah.
Eh, not really.
Especially, too, whenever, like... And they touched on it a little bit, but it's like, if you're going to do the prequel, do the... Like, all of the... Whenever, like, the her and Hawkeye, like, you know, escaping and... Like, you know what I mean?
Right, you talked about Budapest, like, eight times.
Yeah, do that story then, instead, you know, of just hitting at it. Because... watching that movie made me go, okay, now I would really want to see the Budapest movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't like what they did with Taskmaster. It just... It was fine. Like, I liked her. I loved David Harbour in it.
Yeah.
But it just... It was missing something. But yeah. I'm looking forward to Shang-Chi this weekend.
Yeah.
And apparently, we've all been, mispronouncing his name for since when, the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's it supposed to be?
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Oh. Did you watch Suicide Squad?
Saw that. That was fun.
That was, I love that movie.
Yeah.
That was a perfect popcorn movie.
Yeah.
It was dumb, funny, and just... the Harley Quinn stuff, like, I think they could have cut 20 to 30 minutes out of that movie.
Yeah.
But
you could say that with almost any superhero movie now.
Right, but, like, I didn't need... 2.5 hours of that.
Hey, Chris.
You know, like it was like a 5-minute scene where she was escaping. We really didn't need that. The dude that set all the birds on fire. What was the point of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was, I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun. King Shark was hilarious. And John Cena was hilarious.
Right.
I was not looking forward to the Peacemaker show, but now I'm like, I'm going to give this a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. So what you got, Dave? I saw your list, your diatribe, your manifesto.
We'll start with a couple of books that came out last week, and then a couple more from... past 2 months when we were off that I really liked. Last week, Superman 78. Did anybody read this?
Mm-mm.
I...
Before you start, didn't read anything.
Okay. Okay.
How true was it, though, to, like, the Donner movies?
I really enjoyed it. I thought they really captured the rhythm of the movies, the aesthetics of the movies. I'm not exactly sure, like, if it's not really clear if it takes place, like, after the first Superman, or the second, or the third, or since Donner was...
Well, Donner wasn't involved in the third one. He was barely involved in the second one.
Yeah, I mean, they have the Donner cut of the second one. But, just kind of like a straightforward story, you know, it starts on Krypton... Like in the movies, Wilfredo Torres did the art. I thought the art was really good. He did like some simple likenesses of the characters. He did, you know, Marlon Brando is Jor-El, and Jackie Cooper is Perry White. It was really good. And it starts on Krypton, and you have like one of Jor-El's speeches from the movie as Krypton is blowing up, and Brainiac is watching this.
Okay.
And so then we switch to Metropolis, and Lois and Clark are late for 8:30 punching time at the Daily Planet, and Clark sees a purse snatcher, and gives him the hot foot, you know, with his heat vision, without turning into Superman, without his costume on. And then there's an explosion in the middle of town, and like one of the Brainiac drones rises from the smoke, and so we get the full page scene of, you know, Clark ripping open his shirt to reveal the Superman S, and he has the fight with this drone who is collecting information about the populace of Metropolis, and then he sees that knows that Superman is not an Earthling and is Kryptonian, and he's sending this information back to Brainiac, who's in the farthest reaches of space. The dialogue was really good. I thought the dialogue fit, just like right out of the movie too. You know, Lois bickering with Jimmy.
Was it set in 1978?
That's my guess.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, were you missing things like cell phones, but there were phone booths where the cars reminiscent of 70s cars, or like were they trying to tell a modern story using the characters from...
I'd have to go back and look to see if that kind of thing. There weren't any cell phones that I could tell, but it looks like it's of that era definitely,
because like in Batman 89 would...
I read that too.
But the style of the movie was very much, it could have taken place in the future, it could have taken place in the past, it could have been modern day. But the Superman movies were clearly set in their time period, in you know, the late 70s. So it'd be interesting to see how they would handle that.
Yeah, it just might be my own point of view, but it looked like it was set in the 70s with the colors, especially, too.
Superman had platform boots.
A lot of Bee Gees songs in the background and stuff.
Nice.
Another Superman book I read. I read the Superman Son of Kal-El, the first two issues of that. By Tom Taylor.
That'd be the only reason why I would want to, but I haven't read any Superman stuff in so long.
But see, I liked Jonathan Kent as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know why they just forcefully raised his age. Yeah. Like it was more interesting because you also got to see Superman raise his son. Like when they did the, you know, Superman and action, and they kind of went back and forth, and then even the Super Sons, I liked that interaction because he was a kid, he was learning.
Yeah.
Especially now that they know that like Connor's back now, so you already have like that old, like, you know, that
young English, Superman.
Yeah, yeah, so like
young adult Superman. Yeah, yeah.
Especially now, because how many times have they gone back and done Super Sons, like, prequel or something, like, you know what I mean, told more stories from back whenever, you know, before he got aged up, like.
I just think that was a mistake.
Yeah.
We should have left him young. Plus, I liked his interaction with Damian a lot.
Or, like, you know, if they were going to age him...
He does see Damian in the first issue.
Because what he was, like, a year younger than Damian most of the time, right? Because wasn't Damian always making fun of him about being older than him?
I think it was, like, two, because he said, I'm a Teen Titan, and you're not even a teen yet.
So maybe, like, age him up so he's, like, a year older than Damian just so he has that, like, you know what I mean? But other than that, like, you know what I mean? You don't need to make, because I don't know, I haven't read, but it looks like he's, like, a teenager to, or, like, you know, like, 17 to like 20 range, well, just the way that he looked.
In the second
know.
Issue, it's his first day of college.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I would have thought he was like 20, in his 20s.
And he has a secret identity. He tries to have a secret identity. He gets like a blonde wig and he calls himself Finn Connors. But it is blown on the first day. It is blown on the first.
Well, can he just use his.
Well, apparently he gets Batman and some other people, you know, to get this fake identity.
But why can't he just use Ken? Like, why can't he just, like, you know what I mean? Like, why can't he just use that identity?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, he goes around, I'm Superboy, what's his actual name? I'm drawing a blank.
Jonathan?
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah. Like, it's not like he goes around, I'm Superboy Jonathan Kent. Like, I don't know why he can't just be Jonathan Kent. No, that's weird.
Just put glasses on it. Work for his dad.
Yeah. Especially now he can have big, like, hipster glasses that hide, like, half his face, like.
Well, the theme of the
grow a beard.
You get like, the spit cube, but it'd be, like, it'd be, like, one of those front buns, but it's, like.
Doucher man.
Yeah.
The theme of the book is that Jonathan wants to attack the root problems, the root causes of problems, and not the symptoms. So, like in the first year, while not making people like putting people on edge with this, and he has a talk with Damian in the first issue about this, and then he has a talk with his dad on the moon about this, and Superman gives him the key. There's a Key to the Fortress of Solitude in the Arctic, the second Fortress of Solitude now.
Right, but it's made out of like a neutron star or something, so it weighs like 10,000 pounds.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. Jonathan, you know, he has like, I enjoyed the book. I'm enjoying the book so far. Jonathan has a combination of Superman's powers and his mom's, thirst for righteousness.
Okay.
To help the little guy. Go back, past couple months, Mark Russell's new book I wanted to talk about, Not All Robots.
Okay.
Was really good.
Did you read that,
Spencer?
Yeah.
That's one I wanted to get to. It takes place in 2056. And they're living in the Orlando, Florida bubble.
Yeah.
At least there's this. I don't know about like other cities, but Orlando's under a bubble.
They give a person out there's like a few dome cities throughout the country.
And robots have replaced human beings in the workforce. And so the families stay home. So they introduce you to the Walters family, and they have a robot. I'm blanking on the name of the robot.
Yeah, the name.
I need to get the name. Razorball. And, you know, the family's home, and Razorball comes home, and they're asking him, you know, how's your day at work? And he's having this existential crisis because he doesn't want to deal with these questions, and he just goes, he spends all the time in the garage, and they think that he's building something to kill his family. And Razorball works in this Mandroids factory where they're building the next generation of these robots who look more like humans. And so they're setting the stage for like a robot human civil war.
Yeah, like an uprising kind of.
Because one of the robots Razorball works with, he talks about taking out the empathy chip. So they won't feel bad about like killing all the humans.
Yeah, because like anytime he comes home from work, the father of the family he's trying to be nice by like, oh hey, how was your day? How was everything? Do you need anything? And the guy's just like, leave me alone. Like, you know what I mean? Leave me alone. And then he goes in the garage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that's why the robot that he was working with was telling him about taking out the empathy chip, and you wouldn't care about them bugging you or getting on your nerves or, you know, anything like that. Yeah. And then also, like, with, like, the taking them out, too.
At the end, one of the robots releases nitrous oxide into the atmosphere in this bubble.
It was in another bubble, wasn't it?
They showed, there's a really startling scene where they show people, a bunch of dead people at the Magic Kingdom in front of the castle.
Okay.
And it's, you know, this robot's trying to get revenge, on humans.
But I'm interested to see. I have a feeling it's going to be like, this robot going to actually try to save his family. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think that like it might have to deal with like that kind of stuff, maybe like trying to get them to some kind of safe point, and like him trying, like, you know what I mean, or something like that, or I don't know. It's hard to try to predict what people are gonna do after the first issue, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. It's Mark Russell and Mike Diodato. I should say that. And the other one was a new Black Hammer book, The Unbelievable Unteens. It was really good. This is a different kind of Black Hammer book. It starts off at a comic convention in Spiral City, 1997, and there's And there's this writer, artist, her name's Jane, who created the Unbelievable Unteens comic book. And everybody loves the book, and all the people are asking her, what's going to happen in the next issue? So she goes home. She goes home to her apartment, and someone sneaks up on her, this character from her comic book, Jack Sabbath. And he tells her that you're one of the Unbelievable Unteens, but, and I am too, but our memories have been wiped. And we have to, we have to go find the rest of the Unteens. So she's like, what's, this is crazy. So Jack Sabbath takes her to the, what he says is the Unteens' mansion, their headquarters, and she doesn't, and it's exactly how she draws it in the book, in her book, even though she's never seen this before. And then Jack Sabbath kind of tells the origin of the Unteens and all the different characters, and it was just really good. Can't wait for the second issue. I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. We had a couple questions I forgot about.
Yeah.
One for Dave.
Uh-oh.
Did Dave cut out the Marvel value stamps?
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Okay.
No, I did
so
not.
So even back then, you had the wherewithal to know not to
no,
bring any
I would never. No, I would never. You know what? I have an early issue of Amazing Spider-Man, not from the 70s or something, that I cut up when I was probably a few years old. But when those stamps, at least when I saw those books with the stamps in, I knew enough not to cut them
okay.
out.
Okay.
No. Thank you for the question.
There you go. And then the other question is, do you read all the tie-ins to an event? I guess it kind of depends.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
Death Metal,
hard.
I did. A lot of the Marvel ones I've kind of learned not to.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, with Marvel, it became a situation where if you did that, you were essentially buying their whole line, which
yeah.
is what they want.
Right.
But
plus, their whole line plus miniseries that they would have, like, you know, so you'd be getting even extra books.
Yeah. It's too hard to do that. And then, you know, even if the books were free, there's a time factor.
Spencer, you're up.
So.
Okay. So that's all we got. It's a short one. Pat?
What's coming out next week?
We got it's a little bit of a smaller week. It's a 5 Wednesday month, and next week seems to be the light one. But still lots of good stuff. Spider-Man 73, I guess, is finishing up Sinister War. Army of Darkness 1979, number one, where they're going back to the movie. Bountiful Garden. I'm not honestly sure what that is, but that's a number one. Conan the Barbarian hit number 25. Oh, yeah. Daredevil 34. There we go. So we're at 34. It'll be 34, 35 issues. Deadbox number one is a new one from Mark Russell about like a haunted red box. Defenders number two, number one, sold great. It sold out. I was not expecting that. Excalibur 23 is one of the X-Books. Extreme Carnage Toxin number one. And then the book of the week, Kazar, Lord of the Savage Land, number one. Also have a Marvel Tales giving you some backstory on Kazar. Last Flight Out is from Dark Horse. May's book is also from Dark Horse. That's a new one from Jeff Lemire. We have the Mighty Marvel Masterworks Avengers Volume 1, which is their little digest-size reprint books. You get the first like 10 issues for $16. Search for Who is a new one from Aftershock. Star Trek Mirror War Zero, where they're doing a big Mirror Universe storyline. Two Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters tie-in. We have Dr. Aphra and War of the Bounty Hunters number 4 out of 5. And X-Force 23 is another X-Book. And then from DC, we have Batman 112 tying in with Fear State. Black Manta number 1. I know everybody's excited about that. I enjoy this. We have Green Lantern number 6 and Green Lantern Annual number 1. Infinite Frontier number 6. We got number 5 this week. Joker presents a puzzle box from Matthew Rosenberg. Nice House on the Lake, number 4. This is my favorite. We have Suicide Squad, number 7, Suicide Squad Annual, and Suicide Squad Get Joker. So three Suicide Squad books in 1 week. Cause...
Can't plan this stuff.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, wasn't some of those delayed books?
Yeah, but don't ship them all the same week.
Especially when you got a 5 week month.
Yeah. We don't need three Suicide Squad. And you know, you also got Love. When did the movie come out? Oh, last month, yeah. So, so that's all we got. We will all promise to read more for next week.
It's not going to be hard for most of us.
Right, right. Thanks. And since he did all the heavy lifting, Dave, send us home.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. Good to be back. See ya.